This morning, I thought Tommy was going to preach my sermon, but I think I got a little left here. It's time to take back, or it's time to take what is yours to possess. There's some things that God has promised us, and we're in order to receive them, we're going to have to go get them and possess them like the children of Israel. And so I would like to continue this morning talking about how to receive from God. See, there's a lot more to receiving from God than all you can get in one message. I may do it again. Because I don't know about you, but I'm learning from this how to receive. God's got all these wonderful things for us, but we're not receiving them. And I think one of these days when we get to heaven, we're going to see all the stuff we could have had, but we didn't receive them while we're here on earth. And so, first of all, I want to start with Mark 11:24, which is the main passage for this. It says, therefore I say unto you, and now this is Jesus talking, what things soever you desire when you pray, do what? Believe what? That you receive them, and you shall have them. You know, we do this more than you think, and I'm not talking about just spiritually either. When you came in this morning, and you sat down in that chair, you somewhat believed that that chair would hold you up. I didn't see any of you testing the chair, shaking it, wobbling it back and forth. Will this chair hold me? No, you believed that you received that you could sit down in that chair and it would hold you, right? All right, what else? GPS. Oh, thank you, Lord, for whoever created GPS. Talmadge and Barbara gave me a GPS last year, and I'm telling you, that thing is a godsend. And as you know, her name is Gladys. And I name everything. And Gladys and me, we have been in trouble before. We've been out in the middle of nowhere. I didn't know where I was. If you'd have called and said, Pastor, there's $1 million at your front door, I would have not known how to got back home unless Gladys got me there. Because I, listen, she says turn right on Elm Street, I turn right. She says turn left on Oak, I turn. I have confidence in Gladys, my GPS, to get me there and back. I believe I receive directions from her, and she gets me where I'm going. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Well, what about when you go into a public restroom and you're standing there and you want to get some paper towels out of the thing, and you're standing there waving your hands? Anybody ever done that? You've got faith. Like, did you ever feel like stupid? You know, like you're standing there like, you're like, we should be doing this in church, you know, but no, we stand in the bathroom. Yes. And so we're waving our hands. Why are you waving your hands in front of that machine? Because you believe, you receive, that if you wave your hands, the paper is going to come out so you can dry your hands. Same thing with when you go to wash your hands. Have you ever, you didn't see any things there, so you just shove your hands under the spigot, believing what? Water's going to come out. And so you believe, you receive, that if you put your hands under there, water's going to come out. Am I right? So you do believe you receive things before you have them, don't you? Yeah, some of you are getting this. I can feel it. Well, let me ask this. How many of you believe that you will go in the rapture? Okay, that's a little scary. I was hoping for more. How many of you believe you will go in the rapture? All right. Are you sure? Have you ever seen a rapture before? Really, have you ever seen a rapture? How do you know that you're going to go in the rapture? How do you know? It's a promise from God. God's word tells us that we that are Christians, that love the Lord and we're serving him, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we believe that, don't we? And we believe we receive. We believe that if the trumpet sounds today, we're out of here. The same way that you believe for that is the way you could believe the Bible for anything else. Every promise that God gives you is just like the rapture promise. It's just like your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life promise. It's just like God's promised you a mansion. You told me the last time I preached, you said, yes, we believe we have a mansion. You said you didn't see it. You've never seen your mansion up in heaven. You've never even seen heaven. But yet you believe that you have a mansion up in heaven. And I ask you, why do you believe that? You said, because it's in God's word. Well, let me ask you, is healing in God's word? Is prosperity in God's word? Is the fact that your family can be saved in God's word? So if you believe, see, we've got this thing where we only believe part of the Bible. And we need to change up. I'm telling you, I believe that, and I want God to stretch us. And to, like we've been teaching on about Jabez, Lord, that he would bless us indeed. I'll be honest with you. Can I just be real straight up? You know I will anyway. You know that I told my class Wednesday night, I was coming down the road, and I found myself praying this old religious prayer. I could have just smacked myself. I was saying, oh, Lord, if just one person in that class can be blessed tonight. And I thought, that's just downright stupid. That's stupid. Why would I pray for one person to be blessed while I want the whole bunch of you to be blessed? See, that's just religious thinking. Somebody said that, and so we thought it sounded good, so we've been saying it ever since. Oh, Lord, just one person can be saved today. You know, oh, what is that? That's not, that. No, we got to start saying, God, I want there to be so many souls saved. Lord, I want that whole church to be saved. I want the whole church to be blessed. Stop that limited thinking. Y'all still love me? Can I keep going? All right, let's go. Hebrews 4:16. I love this, and we've talked about it before, but it's rich. I could preach on this till Jesus comes, and it's powerful. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So did you see there it says, therefore come boldly. It didn't say come begging to God. It says, let us therefore come boldly. This is talking to the children of God, the people who serve him. But, you know, years ago, and here again is another sacred cow that I'm getting ready to knock over. And that is, I heard people say years ago, it sounded so, wow, you must really be spiritual, you know. But people would say, I'm going to bombard the gates of heaven until I get my answer from God. That sounds really spiritual, doesn't it? Like, wow, you are something. You are like, phew. But that is so not biblical. Because right there, I just read to you where God says, come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer, to come boldly. You don't have to bombard heaven. You don't have to bombard the gates of heaven. You come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Now, also want you to look at 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, this is a pretty strong, active verse, if you ask me. First, he tells us to fight the good fight of faith, and then he says to lay hold. What would we lay hold of, like, say, in the natural? If I'm at Macy's and there's a great sale and I see somebody coming for that dress, I will lay hold on it, you know, or that outfit. I will lay hold on it. Or whatever it is, there's things in your life that you lay hold on and you got it, right? You don't sit there and see, this says fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. That doesn't sound like we as a congregation should be sitting in a corner somewhere singing Kumbaya. Oh, how good. Kumbaya, my Lord. Oh, what is that? I don't even know. That doesn't sound like lay hold to me. That doesn't sound like fight the good fight of faith to me. Does it to you? No. I think we should be singing, with that scripture in mind, we could be singing warring songs, you know, like I'm coming to get it songs, you know. The church world in general is way too passive. They say stuff like, and I said this before, well, you never know what God's going to do. See, that just gives them a way out. because they're too stinking lazy to lay claim on it. All right, I said it, yeah. Well, see, if we just say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. The only time I noticed God said to wait on the Lord is when he said, wait on the Lord and he will renew your strength. It didn't say wait on the Lord to see if your car payment gets paid. It didn't say wait on the Lord to see if your kids get saved. It says that we need to lay hold and fight the good fight of faith. And so too many people in the world and churches, they're too passive, too laid back. Though, through his word and according to his word, we are healed. And so somebody might say, well, you never know what God's going to do, or I'll get healed if it's God's will. Well, how will you know if it's the Lord's will to be healed? How will you know? Through his word. And through his word, according to his word, you are healed, and I am healed. We are the healed. Oh, I tell you, one of these days, when God allows me to, I am going to, as God gives me more revelation on this, that day in Gethsemane, and I stood in the Garden of Gethsemane years ago, 1998, I stood in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus went to pray. And it was in the Garden of Gethsemane that all of our sins was rolled onto him. And so much so that he almost died in the garden. Jesus almost died several times before they could get him to the cross and put the nails in his hands. And so, but also when they put those stripes on his back, your sickness, your pain, he carried that day. He got it. Diabetes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've got diabetes, he's already carried it. He's already taken care of it. If you have arthritis, whatever it is, God has already taken care of it. He's already, what else do you want Jesus to do? He's done everything he's going to do about your healing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants us to come and take it and possess it. Woo. If this isn't for anybody else, I'll preach to me, and I'm getting happy already. Woo! I have learned, and so have some of you, because I know, I talked to you. We've learned that we have to hunker down. That's a Sandy term right there. That's the same as get her done. You know, I've learned, and so have some of you, that we have to hunker down. What does that mean? That means put things aside. Put everything else away for a little while and believe God's word. Even when the going gets rough, you're going to stand and say, I believe God's word. Even when things get tough and no one around you understands, not even Christians, there are some times when you are believing for something so big and other Christians, not everybody, but some that are not on the same faith level as you will say, what? You're believing for what? I've never heard of such a thing. Don't be telling all your stuff to everybody. I'll just tell you that, because not everybody's going to come in agreement with you. Some people are going to try to talk you out of what you believe. Even when everything around you says it's not going to happen, when you stand there and by faith you say through gritted teeth, I will not be moved by what I see. I will not be moved by what I hear. I will not be moved by how I feel. I will be moved by what thus saith the word of God. And then when the smoke clears, there you are standing there with what you believe for, and your foot is on the devil's neck. And you're standing there with victory, and you're saying, I knew it. I knew God would come through for me if I would just go and take it. I dare you. I dare you this morning. I dare you to hunker down before God and you just say, I'm going to come. I'm going to take what's mine. You promised in your word. You said I could be healed. I'm taking it. You said my children could be saved and my family. I'm taking it. They're saved. I called them saved and filled up with the Holy Ghost and working in the church. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord wants us to be overcomers and more than conquerors. Think about people that got healed under Jesus' ministry. Are you ready? You might need to, really listen right now. I would say put on your seat belts, but if you want to jump up, run, go ahead. Because I'm telling you, I got so blessed by this. Maybe it was just me, you know, but there. Think about the people that were healed under Jesus' ministry. These people were not passive about what they needed from God. They didn't have the attitude, well, I'll just, you know, I'm standing in the crowd here, and I'll just wait and see if Jesus stops in front of me and calls me out. Did they do that? No, they were not passive. And we can see, we'll start with the woman that had the issue of blood. She wasn't even supposed to be out in the public that day because she was considered unclean like the lepers. She was fighting the good fight of faith, and she pressed through the crowd saying, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And this woman literally, took her healing. So much so that in Mark 5 and 30, it says, then Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, and he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And this was a result of her taking her healing. Think about that. Jesus, he was with Jairus. He's got her, you know, they just told him that his daughter was dying. And so him and Jairus, they're going down the road and everything. They're being thronged by probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people. They're going down the road. And all of a sudden, Jesus feels power leaving the Son of God feels power leaving his body. What happened? I mean, there's hundreds of people, so much so that they were thronging him. How did that power leave his body? Who did it? He turned around and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples, like Sandy version, are you kidding me? Everybody's touching your clothes. And he said, no, there's power has left my body. Power has left me. And it was then that little woman, she stepped up and she told him everything that had happened. Or you could say that she laid hold of her healing. How did she do that? In Mark 11:34, Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. She believed that Jesus would heal her, and she confessed it with her mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore we also believe, and therefore, this is what she did. She believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. So that's what she said. She believed, therefore she spoke. What did she believe? What did she speak? What she believed. She believed it, so she spoke it. And God, Jesus healed her. Now let's look at someone else who laid hold of their healing. Blind Bartimaeus. Was he passive about what he needed from God? No. he was sort of kind of wild, you know. I like this guy. In Mark 10:46, it says, now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, talking about Jesus and his disciples, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. Don't get stirred up. Don't be a charismatic Pentecostal. Shh. People get nervous when you get all, you should have seen our group at Nathan's bar mitzvah yesterday. At first, we didn't know all the songs, but boy, when they put in a song we knew, woo, yeah, we were right there. But they were doing it too, so nobody told us to be quiet. But I'm telling you, they told blind Bartimaeus, be quiet, shh. Don't be so loud. You don't have to be so loud in church. I wish you were louder. Then many have warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy. See, he's hunkering down here. That's what that is right there. He says, he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. Wow, what a change of attitude. Now they all like, oh, come on, he's calling for you. Yay. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, you know, that would seem pretty obvious, wouldn't it? You know, that he's blind. But Jesus wants you to say what it is you want. And so the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive. What? What did he say? That I may what? See, I told you he was there to receive. He was there. He was ready to lay hold of what he was coming for. He said that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Just like you told the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So we see that blind Bartimaeus was standing by the road with the beggar's garments, and when all of a sudden he heard a stirring in the crowd, and he probably asked everybody, hey, what's going on? He couldn't see, but he could hear. He goes, what's going on? And somebody said, oh, it's Jesus is coming. That guy that heals people. Well, I got to tell you, that's good news for a blind man. And so blind Bartimaeus starts yelling for Jesus. He's calling Jesus' name. But as we saw, their people were telling him to be quiet. But not only did he not be quiet, but he got louder. And then when Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, well, bring him up here. And then they brought, as they said, well, Bartimaeus, he wants you. And the first thing that Bartimaeus did was throw off his garment. And from what I understand, that was a begging garment. And that tells me that he knew he wasn't going to have to beg anymore. So he threw the garment off before he ever went to get his healing. He believed he was going to receive from Jesus. And he put away his old life. And he went up there with every intention of laying hold of his healing. And now let us look at one more. I love these guys. Now let's look at the man that was carried by four other men to get to Jesus, Mark 2, 1 through 12. And again he entered Capernaum, this is talking about Jesus, after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. I just like that. He's in the house. Jesus is in the house. I'll tell you something else. He's in this house. He's in here. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. They couldn't even get close to the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw, what did Jesus see? He saw their faith. He didn't just hear their faith. He saw their faith. And he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there. You always got these people. And reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or arise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power. See, that tells me right there, it's just as easy for Jesus to save you as it is to heal you. It's just as easy for Jesus to heal you as it is to save you. Right there. He just said it right there. He said, I say to you, arise. He says, your sins are forgiven. Or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. This man and his friends, I love it. They came and they laid hold on a miracle, even though it meant climbing up on a person's roof, tearing the roof up. What if that happened to us? Oh my goodness. I mean, I know that they had like thatched houses and everything, but what if one day this place was so packed out and everything, and all of a sudden the window raises up and there's people shoving other people in? Woo! Hey, all things are possible, right? Absolutely. So they had to think about it. To get him up on the roof, he's paralyzed. So they're going to have to, that's a lot. All four of these guys are having to do their part to, if one of them had let down their corner, it would have made a difference in this man's life, you know, because he could have slipped out that corner. But all four of them grabbed a corner. They all got this man. I don't even know how they got him up on the roof. They must have had a ladder, I guess. So can you imagine trying to hoist this guy up on the roof, and then they're tearing this guy's roof up, and all of a sudden there's Jesus, and he's teaching to him, and there comes a paralytic in front of him. And he said, the Bible says, and he saw their faith. Oh, I tell you what, I believe Jesus was touched by their faith. And then I want to end with this. Nehemiah, some of y'all are going to like this. Nehemiah 22, 22 through 25. All right. Moreover, you gave them, which is talking about the children of Israel, not that first bunch that didn't have enough faith to get out of the wilderness, but their family, their descendants. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations and divided them into districts. So they took possession of the land of Sihon, the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Let me tell you about this Og guy, this Og dude. I'm telling you, he was huge and mean. And they said, from what I understand, he even had a great big brass bed he slept in. He was a big, mean guy. But it says that they took possession of the land of the land of Og, king of Bashan. While I'm here, let me say this. You may say, well, Pastor, I've been believing. I've been trusting God to give me that thing I'm praying about. But I think there's a big old hairy demon sitting on top of it. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you know what? You have the name of Jesus. You speak the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And that big hairy devil has to go. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven and brought them into the land which you told their fathers to go in and possess. So in verse 24, so the people went in and what'd they do? Possessed the land. They didn't sit back and sing about God. They didn't sit back and talk about God. They went and did it. They went in and got it done. So, and it says, you subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they may do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of all goods, cisterns, which are wells already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled up and grew fat. Now, before you get excited about that fat part, all that means is they were well nourished. And they delighted themselves in your great goodness. Notice that they possessed houses full of all goods, wells already dug, vineyards and olive groves and fruit in abundance. How would that be for us today? I believe that we can possess things. God can give into your hands things in acceleration that might have taken your family years and years to get. I believe God can move in acceleration. If you need a job, I believe that God can move people out of the way that are way more qualified than you, and all of a sudden your resume ends up in the right place. I believe that the loan you've been trying to get or whatever it is that you're trying to go for, all of a sudden, it's just going to land up in the right place because the favor of God is walking in front of you. You're believing it. You're taking it. You're hunkering down. You're saying, God, you said that I could have it. Your word says that I could be healed. Your word says that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank you, God. I believe it. I receive it. I take it by faith. Some of you may be like, I've never done that kind of thing, Pastor. I never just take anything by faith. Well, get busy. Hurry up. What are you waiting for? And let me just tell you something. When you lay claim to something, like let's just say you're believing for $100. I know I've told this story, but let me just share it again. Years ago, when we pastored Clarksburg, I needed $100, and I needed it by a certain time. And I prayed and I asked God. I said, "I need $100," and so I laid claim to it. And so through the weekend, the devil came at me and said, "You don't think you're going to get that $100, do you?" And I said, "No, I know I'm going to get that $100. I know it because I asked the Lord to give it to me by faith." Well, it was a Sunday morning, and Jim came. I was getting ready, and Jim had already been out to the church, and he came in, and he said to me, he knew I was believing for money, but he didn't know how much. And he said, "Here's $60. Somebody gave us some money, and here's $60. And at first, I was going to take it, and I shoved it back at him, and I said, "When the other 40 come in, let me know." And he reached in his pocket and he said, "I didn't know you needed all of it." And he gave me $100. He said he didn't know I was believing for that much. He gave me the bigger part, but he said, "But see, if I'd have taken the 60, it would have been all right, but it wouldn't have been the faith level that I was working at that time that God was giving me for." And I shoved it back in his hand and I said, "When the other 40 comes in, let me know." And I'll never forget him pulling the other 40 out and going, "I didn't know you needed all of it." And I'm challenging you this morning. What is it? Some of you are believing for big things. Some of you are believing for small things. That's okay. That's okay. If you're believing for $5, hey, I'm playing that McDonald's thing right now. Anybody else doing the Monopoly? Hey. I said, somebody's going to win something. Might as well be me. So let me finish by saying this. God has promised us so many wonderful things in the Bible. Salvation, healing, wisdom. Let me stop there a minute. Does anyone in here, you've got decisions you need to make? You've got some decisions in the future that you're going to have to make? I tell you what, you can ask God for wisdom. The Bible says in the book of James that he will give you a liberal amount of wisdom. Do you think the wisdom from God would be a good thing? Yes. Yes. Prosperity. He's promised us prosperity, righteousness, and sanctification. But we're going to have to arm ourselves with the whole armor of God, which is found in Ephesians chapter 6, and go after it. I'm just going to say something here. Don't get mad. I got a fast car. I can get out of here. I do have a fast car. I'm being better. I am. We've got too many half-hearted, half-baked Christians that want the blessings of God, but they're not willing to go get it. It's like Tommy was saying about the kids thing about cookies. If I call David, now David is my grandson David. He is all into iPods and pads and things. I don't know. And all of this computer stuff. If I called him up and said that I had what's that card that you can buy and then apps on it? What? iTunes. If I called David up today, now he lives in Smithsburg, and I said to him, "David, I have an iTunes card worth $50. I'm going to tell you right now, if the boy had to walk over two mountains to get to my house, he would do it. He would do it. And I'm telling you, that's exactly how we need to be about whatever it is you're believing God for. Go after it. Turn off the TV for a little while. Turn off the country station in your car, please. And go after what God has given to you. He put on some good Christian tapes on healing. Put on some the Word of God that tells you about healing. Feed your spirit, man. And all of a sudden, you're going to be grabbing and taking that which God has already promised you and wants you to have. He's not holding back. You don't have to grab God by the lapels and say, please give me this. Please, God, you promise. And then you get into that thing some way, somehow, some way, somehow. What is that? That ain't nothing. You get into the Word of God and you says, right here, God, you said in your Word that you would heal my body. You said in your Word that you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. You said you would save my children, Liz. I'm telling you what, this woman right here, she is a believer for her children to come in. We need to come in agreement with her and everybody else in here that's got lost family. I'm telling you, we can fill this church up when we start believing. And I'm telling you, when my son was in drugs and alcohol for the longest time, all I did was sit and cry and cry and cry and say, what am I going to do? And he would be out to 3 o'clock in the morning and all of this kind of stuff. But then there came a day when I got the Word and I stood on the Word of God, and I started saying, and you know this, I started calling Troy in. I started saying, I believe that he is saved, he is sanctified, he is filled up with the Holy Ghost, and he is called to preach the gospel, and he is every one of those things today. Plus, he started a church which is above and beyond anything I could have asked or thought. Hallelujah. But it didn't get done by just sitting there wishing for it. You want it, go get it. Oh, some of y'all are looking at me. Woo! But I'm telling you, I told you the truth. I won't back off of it. What I told you this morning is the gospel. If you want it, it's in the Word. If you find it in the Word, if it's a promise of God, I challenge you, I dare you to go get it and take it. And when you pray, you say, God, I take it by faith. You said that I could have this, and I take it by faith. And so if you've already taken it, what do you think you should do next? Praise him for it as if it were already done. Do you know how many times I praised God for Troy being saved before he was saved? Do you know how many times I praised God for, and some of you could tell me other stuff too, do you know how many times I praised God when I got that IRS bill in the mail for $23,000 on a bleak Monday afternoon, and Jim and I were covered in medical bills and we didn't know what we were going to do, and all of a sudden I'm getting a bill from the IRS saying you pay it or else. Do you know how many times I slapped my hand on a piece of paper on the wall and I said, Lord, I thank you that you are well able to bring us through. I thank you, God, that you're well able to do this for us. And then when we got the bill in the mail, it said, now you owe $6.06. Yes, yes, hallelujah. But I had to believe it before I saw it. All right, stand up. I've given you everything I got. Whew. Bow your heads, close your eyes, don't move around. This is God's time. Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God. You're so awesome. You amaze me every day, God. You are so awesome. There's things about you that we haven't even scratched the surface, Lord. And, oh, God, right now, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us as a congregation to reach out and grab hold of things, Lord, that you have already promised in your Word. You already said we could have it. God, I'm asking you, Lord, that we will reach out by faith and take it. And take it. And then just have the nerve to turn around and thank you for it before we ever see it done. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I wonder, you know, you're in the right place today because I tell you, Jesus is here. And if anyone here doesn't know the Lord as your personal Savior or you're in a backslidden condition, I would love to introduce you to Jesus. I would love to pray with you because he loves you. Oh, he loves you. God knew you were going to be in this building today. He knew everything about you. He knew you before the foundations of the world, which means before if there were dinosaurs, he knew you before the dinosaurs roamed the earth, and he knew you would be in this building today. And I would like to introduce you to Jesus, and if you would like to meet him as your Savior and Lord and the King of Kings of your life, I want you to raise your hand, and I'd just love to pray with you. Anybody this morning, you just want to meet the Lord, you just want to refresh your walk with him, he loves you. You are in the right place today. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here this morning that you need prayer for anything else? You need prayer of agreement, or you need prayer for your body, or whatever. If there's anything that you need this morning from the Lord, we would be glad to pray with you, because I challenge you to go get it. Go take it. What is it you're believing for? He's an awesome God. He can do it. I'm telling you, he can so do it, I can't even tell you how much. He can do it with his hands tied behind his back. He can heal you. He can bring in your heathen family. Whatever it is. Anybody else? Someone's coming. Come on up. If you have a need this morning, or you just want somebody come in agreement with you for something you've already believed for, doesn't mean you're a sinner. It just means you need some prayer. Come on up.